What's up, Ego Hackers? Welcome to Season 18, Cognitive Mechanics, and we're discussing more about the octagram, and that is related to cognitive focus. We talked about cognitive development last month, pretty much in March, but this is the April 2023 episode for Season 18, Cognitive Mechanics, and we are discussing the octagram from the perspective of cognitive focus. Now remember, development is mostly based on and usually established in a person as a result of their childhood and a little bit of their adolescence. And then during adolescence to post-adolescence in terms of early adulthood, people are relying on cognitive focus basically to, you know, in the direction of where they are going to be taking their life. And this represents the other half of the octagram, of which is entirely, you know, necessary to do so. It's really important to understand, you know, the other half of human nurture. And granted, I have to give credit where it is due, because the initial octagram concept, you know, which we utilized for so long, was cognitive focus, but we realized it's actually cognitive development. That realization actually ultimately came from Chris Taylor. So I have to give credit where it is due. You know, understanding, you know, the difference between development versus focus, where a person's been, and then comparing that to focus, which is a, you know, development versus focus versus where a person is going, that is ultimately, you know, as a result, Chris Taylor's contribution basically to the octagram. And we owe a lot of what the octagram is to Mr. Taylor as a result. So special thanks to him for helping move the science forward in this direction. So we know in general that the octagram measures nurture, but a deeper analysis of the octagram reveals that every pole, which is, you know, sin, virtue, shadow pole, aspiration pole, can be used in an extroverted or introverted way, basically spending on externally versus spending on internally. And basically that means that each spoke of the temple wheel has an internal and an external expression, basically an internal expression, an external expression. And that really comes down to like what you have an abundance of. Like if you have an abundance of malevolence in your life and you've experienced a lot of malevolence towards yourself in life, then you are outwardly malevolent to other people. You tend to give malevolence to other people. And if you are outwardly malevolent, that means you are internally fanatical. Not very many people are obviously a fan of you because they are being malevolent to you. So you've had to learn how to become a fan of yourself. And you love it when other people are fans of you, basically, right? And that's internal fanaticism. So all of the spokes, the temple wheels, which is sin, virtue, shadow pull, aspiration pull, basically follows that model, right? We're going to be discussing this at length in future material. And then also another aspect of the octagram, which we haven't really discussed that much. I mean, we've been spending so much time on the ego wheels, basically, in terms of like your ego dyad, you know, your ego and your subconscious and its cognitive origin and its associated temple wheel of the octagram. But the other half of like the shadow, which is the superego wheel in conjunction with the unconscious at the same time, that dyad also has its own cognitive origin and thus its own temple wheel attached to it as well, where it has its own sin, virtue, shadow pull, and aspiration pull. All of these things are very necessary in knowing, and all of these things interact with each other in a different way. We'll be discussing those interactions in depth in future content. We will not be discussing that tonight within the context of Season 18 Cognitive Mechanics. Tonight, we're going to be just focusing on cognitive focus and why it's relevant and why it probably is the most important thing, because people don't really have any control over their cognitive development. You don't have any control over who you are born to and what their personalities are going to be, if they are compatible with you or if they're compatible with each other, if they have high level of asynchronicity with you or synchronicity with you. You have literally no control over your birth family, over your origin. You just don't. You really actually don't as a person. So quite frankly, your cognitive development is ultimately fated. It's not decided for you. It's decided by the universe or by God the creator or who knows, random luck, random chance. We don't know. What we do know is that development is not our choice. Development is literally just something that comes as a result of just how we live our life and how we cope with living our life as children, basically. Nobody gets to pick their childhood. Literally nobody. And because no one gets to pick their childhood, nobody gets to pick their cognitive development. However, eventually, as all children, provided they survive naturally, eventually all those children become adults. And with those children being adults, they end up having their own freedom of choice, and they get to choose where their life goes. They did not get to choose where their childhood goes. In most people don't get to choose where their adolescence goes, but they do get to choose where their adulthood goes. But that's ultimately the difference, right? That's ultimately the difference. That's ultimately, you know, what people end up having to deal with. And that can be a very rough or a difficult thing to consider when you think about it. But the direction that a person gets to go with their life is ultimately cognitive focus. And cognitive focus basically represents where we are choosing to go. That is the NI of a person's life, whereas cognitive development from a neutral perspective is the SI of a person's life. And it's basically, you know, for the purpose of our psychological journey. It is where our psyches are looking to grow and expand into, basically. Like for me, for example, I'm actually looking to grow more into my subconscious. I'm trying to get to UDSF, and I realized that I need to kind of lean into my ISFJ subconscious a little bit more. I'm studying Dokudo right now, which is Japanese Stoicism. I tried studying Greek Stoicism, but it just did not click with me. It did not click with me at all. So I think the Eastern Stoics, especially Miyamoto Musashi, is probably going to be the best thing for me personally. That's why I'm studying Dokudo, which is the way of walking alone, or the way of the Ronin, basically. And trying to learn the 21 principles of Dokudo and reciting them and just understanding them and applying them in my life and not losing sight of the way, basically. And that's basically been my main coping mechanism with me being UDUF and utilizing those 21 principles according to Miyamoto Musashi to help guide my way into becoming a UDSF ENTP, an ENTP that is based on hope, right? And one of the ways that I'm doing this is I'm actually looking into becoming a volunteer firefighter. The fires were really bad last summer, and they are very undermanned up here. So I figured I might become a volunteer firefighter to do like a 2-week or 3-week assignment every now and then, just to help out, just straight up to help out. You know, my working situation allows me to be able to serve in those kinds of capacities, and it's very ISFJ oriented, and I think it would help me develop my subconscious further. So, you know, and then following, you know, the principles of Dokudo while doing it at the same time, it's basically allowing me to potentially adjust my cognitive focus, right? So we're, you know, and I'm a UD type, but I need to adjust my cognitive focus to subconscious focus in the process, right? And this is very important to be able to do that. But in order to even know what that's all about, I have to understand exactly what cognitive focus actually is. And it is where I am choosing to take my life, outside of that. I remember actually being UDUF my entire upbringing and then changing to UDSF as soon as I got away from my family and I was really independent of them. And then eventually, I was UDSF for a while, and then I turned back into UDUF again after once again finding myself in another situation where I was basically in survival mode at all times. And that was really difficult for me. That was really rough on me, throughout that. And, as a result, it just got to a point where I had to like make a conscious decision to try to get out of UDUF and get into UDSF, you know, basically from that perspective. So the focus poles of the octagram, which is the deadly sins and living virtues piece, whereas the development poles is your shadow pole and your aspiration pole, reveal where we are headed as people and what our minds have determined we need to move towards integration. So for example, types who are subconscious focused rely primarily on their living virtue to develop their subconscious. So subconscious focused types express their living virtue in a very giving way, but their deadly sin in a very receiving way, basically. So in order for me to be subconscious focused, Instead of being envious of other people, I have to work very hard to become the envy in the room, basically, and then become very outwardly compassionate to other people instead of just spending my compassion on myself, basically. So it's an outward expression of compassion, right? And where that goes as a result, it's absolutely critical and very necessary. So subconscious focus types express their living virtue in a giving and external way, but their deadly sin in a receiving, and they spend it internally way. So types who are unconscious focused are actually the opposite, and they rely primarily on their deadly sin to develop their shadow. So unconscious focused types express their deadly sin outwardly, but their living virtue in a receiving and spend internally way. So that's basically what I do, you know, being UDUF. I spend my compassion on myself and not so much on others, and I end up giving envy to other people. And this is actually one of the ways that I actually am entirely motivated. I realize that for myself, that my deadly sin is literally how I motivate myself. Am I motivating myself because I'm being envious of others and I'm mad against other people who have more than I, who have worked less than I have, basically, which is deadly sin of envy? And then I'm motivated because I'm around them. I'm around these successful people. I'm more motivated to work even harder and put in even more maximum effort to try to get, to try to earn what they've basically earned in their life, basically. And that is, you know, ultimately, you know, what envy does when it's very outward. However, the inward envy is probably a bit better, because from the inward perspective, it's like, okay, yeah, I should be utilizing my, you know, from an inward envy perspective, I should be using, I should be working hard to become the envy in the room for myself on my own, regardless of anyone else. Because if you think about it, outward envy is kind of like, and being unconscious focused, you are comparing yourself to others, if you think about it. And I got to work hard to make myself the envy in the room, right? And it's based on things about like what myself is doing and for myself. It's not based on what other people are doing or for others, which is basically what, you know, outward envy or being unconscious focused actually looks like from my perspective as an ENTP, right? So based on that, you know, like, there is a Pareto principle that, you know, has to be looked at, though. And the thing is that when you're looking at, you know, whether or not you're subconscious focused or unconscious focused, as much as you look at cognitive development, there is an 80-20 Pareto principle, you know. So while you may 80% of the time be outward with an expression of, you know, your deadly sin or your living virtue, you would be 20% inward. And then the vice versa is also true. The opposite is also true. You know, you might be 80% inward towards yourself with your deadly sin or living virtue, but you would also be the same, you know, 20% outward at the same time. Like, that also happens. So why is that relevant? It's relevant because you need to know that each expression of the, you know, of the spokes on the temple wheel, which is sin, virtue, shadow pole, and aspiration pole on your temple wheel for the purpose of receiving or gaining more of your cognitive origin, producing and consuming your cognitive origin, basically. As a result of that, like, you're both. You are internal and external. You are extroverted. You are introverted with each of the spokes of your temple wheels. You really are. But the difference is that, you know, one is on the 80% side while the other is on the 20% side, etc. You have both. It's just there's a Pareto, one standard deviation based on the expression of how much you give versus how much you prefer to receive, how much you prefer to give, how much you prefer to receive. Basically, that preference there is still there. Everything is still internal and external. We're not saying, you know, it's this binary thing, basically. We're saying that it's a range, and it's a range that is dominated by the Pareto principle, basically. You do both, but one you do more of than the other, basically, and that based on the internal and the external expressions. And this is absolutely critical to understand. Not only that, like, something that we've noticed as well, and this was actually brought to my attention recently by somebody in the audience. And they basically stated to me, like, you know, hey, if you are producing one of your origins, like if you're producing your shadow origin, that means you, for others, you are consuming your ego origin, basically. If you're producing your ego origin for others, you are consuming your shadow origin, which I'm UDUF, and UDUF people, like, really do that. UDUF people literally work hard to satisfy others, but what we want, you know, like UDUF ENTPs, we work hard to satisfy other people, but what we want in exchange is a lot more respect, basically. We want more reverence because we are working to satisfy others, right? Being revered goes a long way. Being revered is very important to us as a result. It's very key. So just keep that in mind, that production and consumption of cognitive origins is definitely a thing when it comes to, you know, managing your octagram and, you know, basically the spokes on your temple wheels, right? But again, this is still, you know, we're still talking about, you know, cognitive focus here. And just like with development, there's still that 80-20 rule that we have, you know, but from a cognitive focus perspective, again, it is the direction that you are taking your life. And it's basically like, how are you motivated as a person to succeed? Are you motivated in terms of your deadly sin and leaning into your deadly sin? Or are you motivated and leaning into your living virtue? Now, when you look at cognitive development, what you give to other people, you already have an abundance of. The thing is that same principle does apply to deadly sin and living virtue for cognitive focus. The difference is that you actually have a personal choice to adjust it on your own. Sure, paradigm shift could happen in your life. You get a new job, you get a divorce, you could find out that your woman is pregnant, or you find out you're pregnant. You know, there's all of these different paradigm shifts within your life that could also help determine what your cognitive focus is actually going to be in a reactive state, in a passive state. But you can do it actively, where you can actively make the choice to actually change your focus, right? But you have to be aware that cognitive focus is a thing. You have to be aware of how the deadly sins and living virtues actually interact with each other in order for you to make this choice, right? This conscious choice to adjust your nurture in a way so that you are actually putting all of your effort, all of your focus, all of, you know, everything, you know, the steps that you are taking to be more successful as a human being in the right place. That way you're not like me over the last decade, where I've been this rocking horse where there's a lot of movement but going nowhere, basically. Cognitive focus is supposed to be utilized as this thing to make sure that, you know, you are not going nowhere. But one thing I can say about cognitive focus, and I am biased when I say this, but as near as I can tell from cognitive focus, is that, like, over time, and I'm biased because I'm UDUF, but it does seem like being subconscious focused is technically more beneficial in the long run than unconscious focused. It just seems that it's just way more beneficial because, you know, statistically UDSF types are the most successful of all the types. And that's the hope octagram. And then you have the joy octagram, which is SDSF, right? So if you are actually like working hard on being, you know, subconscious focused, technically you are going to be more successful than the unconscious focused ones. I mean, SDUF people, they're decay types. They're great. They're very necessary to have in our race for society, but they're not as successful as their subconscious focused counterparts. And UDUF people are the least successful. They have the hardest time creating relationships with others, facilitating those relationships, creating bonds and connections that are healthier than trauma bonds, basically. They really struggle with having those connections, those bonds, and they often end up creating unhealthy attachments instead, because all attachment is actually unhealthy. Because they're just one-way streets. They're not two-way streets like bonds, right? We actually discuss that heavily in Ego Hacking Your Fear, especially pertaining to the INFJ section of the Ego Hacking Your Fear course. More on that at egohackingyourfear.com. Get the pre-order on that if you haven't already. But yeah, like that's ultimately what ends up happening. You know, paradigm shift is very determinant and can be very determinant in a person's life. But again, that's very reactive. You have to be willing to take your cognitive focus by the horns and choose the direction you want to go. And based on the information that I have right now, as of April 2023, I really think it's wise for human beings to choose the best thing they can choose is to choose to be subconscious focused. It just seems like they're more likely to be more successful in life if they are subconscious focused. I do think it would be the hardest for SDUF types to actually choose to be subconscious focused and change their unconscious focus to their subconscious focus. But it's kind of interesting because you watch decay types, you watch SDUF types, and you just kind of look at them and then you kind of see how they're still trying to get back to their childhood. They're trying to find that joy that they used to have, basically, but it's been taken away from them in their adulthood. The thing is that the SDUF type needs to learn how to not try to go back to the joy in their childhood. They have to find joy in something completely different, basically. And then go in that direction, and that might potentially get them to SDSF. I just really don't know. That's a guess. That's a theory, basically. It's a hypothesis. I'm not entirely sure if that is true. It is a thing, a big thing. So please get the course. So just remember that. Like, I'm not entirely sure if SDUF people really can get to SDSF very easily. I've not witnessed it before, but I kind of have no choice but to believe it's possible, because I know UDUF is a temporary survival mode mind state, and that it is possible to get out of UDUF into UDSF. I have witnessed this, and I know it's possible. But in terms of seeing SDUF get to SDSF, I'm not entirely sure about that. I'm not sure. I just don't have enough evidence. I haven't collected enough evidence in the field to really see or witness that kind of transformation. It's kind of like SDUF people are like the humanity's ultimate rain on your parade people. They had a great parade, someone rained on their parade, and then for the rest of their life, they're raining on everyone else's parade because their parade was rained on that one time, basically. And that can be very problematic. Dougo asks, why is an SDS type more successful than SDUF? Seems like they are at the whims of their ego investments more than the other. And the answer to that question is, it's just because they are. They actually are. They're so, like, I mean, for example, look at Taylor Swift. She's SDSF. Look at Noah. He's SDSF. Look at Robert Potts. He's SDSF. These people are, in general, way more successful than, they're just above average. They're very much above average people. And it just seems that because they have been enabled in their childhood, potentially, and then ultimately enabled in their adulthood to a point, and they're able to facilitate their own personal ego investment enablement, it just means their psyches are just far more specialized. They're way more specialized, right? Whereas SDUF, UDSF, they're way more balanced, but UDSF is way more balanced towards success, really, whereas SDUF is kind of more of like more balanced in trying to avoid failure, basically, right? And, you know, if you aim low and hit, it's not as good as aiming high and miss and missing. You know, aim high and miss is way better than aiming low and hitting, basically, okay? And that's something that people need to realize. You know, that's literally the difference between SDUF and UDSF, basically. So this is why I have the hypothesis that being subconscious focused is technically better for people in terms of their lives, at least in the context of of Western society and how Western society colloquially determines or defines what success actually is, right? So it would be from that point of view, but I'm not saying I'm 100% correct here. This is basically a hypothesis, but I think the UDUF struggle is real. It is really, really bad of a struggle, but I still think SDSF and UDSF types have it better than SDUF types. I still think so. I really do. So a lot of people not really sure about that. They probably wouldn't agree with me on that, but I think that's what it's all about, quite honestly. So let's look at the focus polls for the wheels. So subconscious focused ENFPs and ISTJs use absolution primarily externally, but wrath internally. So they're actually kind of wrathful towards themselves, but they often, you know, produce absolution for other people, making excuses for other people, which is kind of fascinating. Whereas the M-conscious focused ENFPs and ISTJs, they are very wrathful towards other people, and they create a ton of excuses for themselves all the time. I mean, I just found out about my ENFP uncle, actually, who was trying to save face, and he just make excuses after excuses after excuses for himself, basically, much to the detriment of everyone else in his life, and he ended up in the hospital. His family didn't even know about it. No one really did anything, you know, and my grandmother's freaking out, where's my son, where's my son, where's my son? But he was actually in the hospital at the time because he had burned himself, basically. And he's UDUF, right? And he's just so entirely embarrassed because his ISTJ subconscious just can't deal with embarrassment. It just can't deal with it, you know, and that's an example of unconscious focused. Subconscious focused ESTPs and INFJs used chastity externally but lust internally. So chastity being, you know, doing the best with what you have, they help other people. Subconscious focused ESTPs and INFJs help other people become chaste because they have an abundance of chastity in their own life. They help other people not be polluted, but they're very internally lustful, and they love it when other people lust after them, for example. Unconscious focused ESTPs and INFJs use lust externally, and they lust after other people, but they themselves are actually really chaste in such that they love it when other people are chaste for them while they lust after other people, right? That's an unconscious focused ESTP and INFJ. That's basically how Railgun acts, essentially. That's Railgun right there. And then focus in the heart temple. Subconscious focused ENTPs and ISFJs use compassion externally for others. We already discussed that, but envy internally. They want to become the envy in the room instead of envying others, whereas the opposite is true for unconscious focused ENTPs and ISFJs within this dyad, which is a satisfaction dyad. They use their envy externally. They envy others, use that as their motivation, which is what I do, but compassion internally. And then I've been more compassionate towards myself instead of externally, which actually has caused a lot of problems, even within my own marriage, actually. Where I've realized recently that I am not as compassionate towards Railgun as I should be. And then she mirrors that lack of compassion, and then that ends up becoming a problem, right? So I have to end up being more compassionate, and I have to practice being compassionate to others and as much as being compassionate to her. It's really important. And that's part of my journey to becoming more subconscious focused instead of unconscious focused within my temporary mind state of UDUF. Subconscious focused ESFPs and INTJs, however, use their modesty externally, but their vainglory internally, right? So they're very modest people, and they help other people be modest, but they really like it when other people glorify them and also help them achieve things and help them gain material things, because normally they just don't do that for themselves because they are just so outwardly modest. Unconscious focused ESFPs and INTJs are the complete opposite. They glorify other people and increase the materialism of other people, but they are very modest internally. And what that means is they like it when other people help them be modest, right? They love that increase. They love it when other people invest in their modesty and make them more modesty and help them do more with less, basically. And that's kind of like a Buddhism approach, the unconscious focus of the ESFP, INTJ, heart temple, wayfarer dyad, basically. Looking at the mind temple, subconscious focused ESTJs and INFPs use their initiative externally. They take initiative and lead others, basically, but they can be very internally slothful. So they like it when actually other people enable their laziness, because they don't often allow themselves to be lazy. But when other people do allow themselves to be lazy, it's really nice, and they love that. Unconscious focus ESTJs and INFPs are the opposite. They actually basically enable other people's sloth, enable other people to be lazy, but oftentimes are trying to take initiative in the lead and internally, but they need to be enabled by other people to take the lead, to take initiative. Subconscious focused ENFJs and ISTPs use their humility externally. So they try to humble others, and they are internally prideful, and they love it when their pride is actually enabled and their ego is stroked by other people, basically. And they definitely, humiliate other people in the process. Unconscious focused ENFJs and ISTPs use their pride very externally. And they actually puff up the pride, if not flatter, the pride of other people. But they are very internally humble, and actually really like being humiliated by other people. They really do. Unconscious focused ENFJs and ISTPs, they like being humiliated from that perspective. And then we have the body temple. And the body temple is subconscious focused ESFJ and INTPs for the crusader side. They use their generativity externally. So they're constantly be generative for other people, but they are internally gluttonous, and they like it when other people enable their gluttony, basically allow, and when other people binge things with them. They like binging with other people, you know, as a result of that. Because, and then as a result, it's like as if it's a reward for them being so generative for others. Whereas unconscious focus ESFJs and INTPs are the complete opposite. They use their gluttony very externally. They end up seeking to fulfill the gluttony of other people and are internally generative, but they really like receiving generativity from other people because it allows them to help satisfy the gluttony of other people, basically, and the consumption of other people. Then you have subconscious focused ENTJs and ISFPs who use their generosity externally, and they're very externally generous, but greed internally. And they don't often allow themselves to be greedy, but when someone around there actually satisfies their greed or helps them be greedy or is okay with them being greedy, they really love it. They really love it, the subconscious focused ones. The unconscious focused ones are the opposite. They use their greed externally and they satisfy the greed of other people, and they're not really that generous, and they are really only generous towards themselves, and they love it when other people are generous to them because they spend a lot of their time looking to the greed of other people and assisting other people, you know, reach their own greedy-based goals, right? And that's ultimately, you know, cognitive focus within the body temple, right? So this is how cognitive focus is expressed throughout the entire octagram, you know, those basic behaviors, right? So that's how that works. That's what that means to a point. And remember, folks, cognitive focus is just basically where you are trying to take your life next. That's what it means. That's what it's all about. That's where it is. And that's where you're going, basically, as people. So, but yeah, anyone have any questions relating to this in the chat? Let me see here. When is the Octagram type grid planning coming out? We're hoping to release that, the Octagrid, we're hoping to release that with the Ego Hacking Your Fear Masterclass. That's what we are looking to do for the Octagram grid, the Octagrid as we call it. 2.0, it's already on version 2.0 already, basically, which is pretty awesome. We got to actually verify that with our graphic artist, make sure that documentation is actually ready. So, all right, cool. All right, that's it for season 18, Cognitive Mechanics. What is cognitive focus? And thank you all for watching and listening. And I'll see you guys in an episode next month. Later.